Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello and a very warm welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu, a regular look at technology from a blind's perspective. While we were away at the World Blind Union General Assembly, Martin Roberts caught up with the very latest news from Dolphin.
Hi everybody, I'm Jane Churchward and I work with Dolphin in the overseas sales, so I look after our dealers around the world.
I'm Steve Bennett and I look after the sales side at Dolphin. With the exception perhaps of North America, where somebody else does that for us.
Quite a lot of interesting things happening at Dolphin at the moment, I believe. What did you guys get up to at TechShare? For those of you who may not know, TechShare is a conference that occurs in the UK every year. It's run by the RNIB.
Yeah, TechShare is a really good idea, and I think it's loosely based on the CSUN idea of the seminars. So it has a fairly small exhibition, but lots of seminar themes are going on. Aimed really at the sort of professional, web-based people, people who have to supply solutions within larger companies. It's really well attended. It's an excellent idea, and it takes that CSUN theme and brings it into the UK.
Did Dolphin have a particularly good tech share? Because it seems to me you particularly had quite a lot of exciting announcements at TechShare this year.
We released shortly before TechShare our latest update version 6.03, which is a free update to this version 6 we talked about, I think, early in the year. And we also announced that we're confident now that we can bring a product to market for a screen reader for Pocket PC.
Okay, can we start then with how 6.03 or Supernova 6.03? It sounds just like a maintenance release, really. Do you have any new features in there, or is it just bug fixes?
No, it's not just bug fixes. With version 6, we did make quite some changes to the software, and as that's gone out the door, we've had quite a lot of feedback from people. So as well as the usual fixes you expect from an update, we have got some quite important new features in there. We've got some things in there for Internet Explorer, for Microsoft Word and for Excel.
So. Could you elaborate on some of these features?
Yeah, certainly.
Take Internet Explorer for, first of all, because the internet is the place that Dolphin's had the most criticism, I think it's fair to say, over the last few years.
Yeah.
Though you did make improvements with version 5 and 6. What have you added to 6.03 that may make people take another look at your software?
One of the things that people had a lot of comments on previously was using forms on the internet. So we've now got a forms mode. Basically, that will help you to fill in a form without having to worry about which mode you're in. You can just do it automatically. And also, we've really improved the label reading in forms, so it should pick up form labels automatically. And if for any reason the form is badly constructed and it doesn't pick up the label automatically, there's a hotkey to find the label. So.
Okay, so you can press a key and have it look for a label.
That's right, yes.
Okay. I'm interested in the forms mode idea. Before we had forms mode in the Dolphin suite, we had virtual focus, and then we had interactive mode. Now, we've got three modes here. How do we differentiate between forms mode and interactive mode, and when would we use each one?
Okay. Well, when you're on the internet, HAL or Supernova will automatically pick up virtual focus mode, so that allows you to cursor around the web page. When you come to a form, you need to interact with your application. You need to input text. So the forms mode will automatically take you into an interactive mode, if you like, when you arrive at a form. So if you switch forms mode on, you can cursor through a web page in your virtual focus, and when you hit a form field, you can automatically start inputting text. So it just makes it nice and simple and automatic for you.
What happens if you just, when you get to that first text field, hit cursor down, will that take you out of the edit box? Or?
It'll take you to the next edit box. Do you want us to load up a form
okay,
here and
yeah,
have a go?
Okay, yeah, if you could show us a demonstration, that'd be good.
Okay, I'm just going to, I've got a few programs running on my computer here, so I'm going to alt-tab to Internet Explorer.
Switch to Supernova controller panel. Download-Microsoft Internet Explorer-Left. Auto-Virtual Focus Downloads Microsoft Internet Explorer Working Offline Window. Hypertext. Downloads Complete Frame. Dolphin Computer Access.
Okay, so there's quite a bit of information there. So I'm actually working offline and I'm using the Dolphin webpage that I have cached on my computer here. And what I can do is obviously just cursor through my page as I normally would. using the virtual focus. I can also use some quick navigation keys to jump to the first edit area in the page, for example, and that will be control and page down.
Blank line edit area. Okay. Search button, table, choose a product, pull down list box.
Okay, so here I am at my form here. So if I do caps lock and enter.
Forms mode on auto interactive mode, product, choose a product, pull down list box.
Okay.
Okay.
So here we're reading the label, so product.
Sure.
And then the pull down list box, which is choose a product. So if I'm going to choose something in this form.
Supernova reader magnifier.
Okay, and I tap to the next form, to the next field, sorry.
Title blank line edit area.
Okay. Normally it would have taken me back into virtual focus at this point.
Right.
But we've stayed in an interactive mode because I'm in forms mode. So I could just carry on and fill in this form. Okay, and if I just tap through.
Name blank line edit area. Organization / company blank line edit area. Address blank line edit area. Postcode / zip blank line edit area. Telephone number left paren. Include code right paren. Blank line edit area.
Now, I'm just going to stop there because that particular label has two lines of text. So that particular label goes over two lines,
okay.
And it's still reading that automatically, okay?
Country, choose a country, email, blank line, auto virtual focus table, submit button.
Okay, now when I get to the end of the table, it brings me back into virtual focus when I want to hit my button.
Okay, so I think that's quite unique. I don't think anyone else does that just yet, bringing you back into your MSAA or virtual mode once you've got to the end of a form. It's still a little bit confusing. When would we use interactive mode then? Because
well,
we do have three modes, don't we?
Sure. You don't actually need to call up interactive mode yourself now, because if you've got automatic forms mode on, it'll just click into it for you. So you wouldn't necessarily need to select that manually anymore.
Okay, so that's definitely an improvement for forms. What other things do we have on the internet that you could tell us about?
Okay, another new thing we've got is a lot of people like to get more information about the web page when they move into a new web page. So we've added a new verbosity setting. If you have high verbosity now, when you go into a new web page, you can get a summary of the headings, the number of links, the number of frames and so forth on that web page. So either you need to select high verbosity or you need to edit your current verbosity setting to include that information.
Can you choose what information you actually have when you load the web page? So could I say, okay, well, the web page is loaded, I just want the number of frames and tables, for example?
I don't believe you can do that now. I think it's all or nothing.
What else do we have on the internet side of things?
Yeah, we've actually improved the speed of virtual focus as well. So there was a little bit of latency there. We're now working with a new document object model information, which is a new thing for Dolphin with version 6. And we have managed to speed up the way that we work now. So, for example, if you use F3 find to find a piece of text on a web page and jump to it, that find process is now much, much quicker, noticeably quicker.
Yeah, it does seem a lot faster. And also, I've noticed when testing out the new version for this interview, I've noticed that the whole loading in of web pages is much faster as well.
That's right, yeah. So really we've improved the performance as well as putting some new features in there.
Some of the things that we forget is some of the important things we inserted in just one of the earlier updates, which is being able to move by headings with a hotkey backwards and forwards, and being able to move via a list backwards and forwards. And those you can actually bring up into a table of contents as well. So
okay, so you can get them up in a list of, say, headings or...
Yes, you can. A list of headings, list of frames, or a list of links. The user can have the choice of being able to bring those up.
Have you ever thought about making Supernova a little bit like the other screen readers, where if we wanted to find, say, a button, we'd press B, or if we wanted to find the first lot of text, we'd press a hotkey to do that, that would maybe be X or something like that, or T for tables?
I have to say, from my point of view, this is something I'm quite sensitive to, because obviously I work with our international community, and I deal with people in 16 different languages. Not personally, I'm not a great linguist, but you know, I have clients that speak 16 different languages, and Dolphin itself sells, we have 19 different languages in our product. So obviously for the English speaking world, you know, L for the next link and H for the next heading makes a lot of sense, but a large proportion of our clients are non-English speaking, so that's one issue. But obviously it's something that we're sensitive to, and we do have some tutorials for people that want to cross over from other screen readers. Hopefully that'll be helpful. And of course you can change the hotkeys yourself as well if you're interested in that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy, quite frankly. You can just go and select hotkeys and then find the hotkey for, so if it's instead of tab, if you want to go to the next link, then just go in and select that item and program it in as L.
Tell us about any of the new Word functionality you have. Because
yeah,
you started
sure.
on your Word improvements in version 6, I believe.
That's right, yeah. One of the big things that we had to address with version 6 was improve the responsiveness in Word, because, again, when we're analysing so much information from Microsoft Document Object Model, it did start to slow down the system a lot. So we have really speeded that up, and I think people will really notice that. Again, there is some dependency on which synthesizer you're using, but certainly with Orpheus, it's much, much quicker, and that's quite an important thing that people will notice straight away. The other thing we've got is some extra objects announced, so we can now announce embedded objects, for example, and section breaks and hyphens and that sort of thing. So we've got a little bit more power in the screen reader to find out those things. We've also got announcement of bullet levels, if that's set, and that also applies to on the internet as well, and list levels. And we've also got announcement of controls in unprotected documents.
Do you work with forms of protected documents yet?
At the moment, that's something we're still working on. So if a document is protected, currently we can read the control and the status of the control, but we can't read protected text. So what we recommend is, if people are creating protected forms, that you build the text label into your control, and that way we can read it. But that is something that we're looking at actively at the moment.
When you first announced version 6, you said that you'd be improving support for Word.
Mm.
You said that in a later update you'd be including more support for other aspects of Office.
A lot of our customers, we realise, use Excel an awful lot. So we have actually concentrated quite a lot on Excel and put quite a lot of new things into Excel, possibly more than Word in this particular update. And we've done that through expanding the use of our lists, our custom lists. So just as on the internet and in Word you can get a list of headings and a list of links and so forth, we've expanded that in Excel. So now you can have a list of cells with formulas, a list of cells with contents, a list of cells with comments, and then you can jump straight to those particular cells.
Okay. Do you do anything with charts at the moment? In the release notes, I haven't tried this myself, there was something about reading charts, embedded charts.
That's right. In exactly the same way, again, we use a list utility. I've actually got one on the laptop here if you want me to
Have a listen.
Live focus switch to 6 Supernova control panel. Microsoft Excel-Book 1.xls. Microsoft Excel-Book 1.xls window. Book 1.xls document window. Example table. List utility 26.
Okay. So one of the things that people commented on was when you switch pages, for example, previously Supernova and HAL was not reading the particular page you're on. So now if I do my control page up, page down.
Control page down. Sweeps chart table. Dry.
Okay.
Sweeps data table. What's your favourite chocolate bar? Question. Merge day 2.
Okay, so there's a lot of new information here. First of all, it's reading the tab of the sheet that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
It's also reading the contents of the current cell in focus. It's also there telling me that cell is merged. And then obviously it gives you the position of that cell as well. So if I use our new list utility, I use the caps lock in all cases here, which is a dolphin key.
Oh.
If I do caps lock and 2.
Dolphin list utility window, 2 objects in group 1.xls, text left paren, b2-d6 right paren, note colon, previously known as marathon in the UK list box.
Okay, so that's a comment field, and it's actually telling me how many cells the comment is would visually cover. Because for a sighted person, if you have a comment and you put your mouse over it, you get a little box on the screen that covers cells. So that tells you the position of that particular visual comment. If I escape out of there.
Microsoft Excel-Book 1.xls window, Book 1.xls document window, sweeps data table, what's your favourite chocolate bar question, merge day 2.
Okay, I'd get the information again. Caps lock and 3.
Dolphin list utility window, 3 sheets in Book 1.xls sweeps data list box.
Okay, so now I can actually move between my pages without changing the page on the screen.
Selected sweeps chart.
So I'm going to go there by pressing enter.
Dry.
Okay. Now if I use, now the usual key is caps lock and 8, but I've changed it on my laptop, so I'm using a slightly different key.
Mountain list utility window, group 1.xls, chart type list, pie list, box.
Okay, now I can just read through that list and it'll give me all the information about that. I can just use my
So it's a pie chart, yeah?
That's a pie chart. I'm going to press enter, which is my document read. Numpad plus is my document read.
Okay.
Chart type list, pie title is favourite, chocolate, mouse knickers, 24%, dash value, 73, Kit Kat, chunky, 21%, dash value, 64, roundy, 19%, dash value, 59, group 1.xls, chart type list.
So just to give you an idea, so basically it's reading through the chart, it gives you the title and the chart type, and then all the values in that pie chart. Now if I was to switch the pie chart to a bar chart, for example, it works in exactly the same way, and I can just switch that on the fly.
That's a real improvement, I think, to access.
And definitely.
Giving people a lot more information about the charts and the documents that they have in Excel.
That's right.
Did you add any new functionality to Excel that we haven't yet discussed?
A lot of the power of Excel comes through the verbosity settings, and although that's not entirely new, it's something that a lot of people haven't really examined before, so I would recommend people look into the verbosity settings. If you have low verbosity in Excel, it'll just give you basic information about your position and the cell that you're on. But you can also have information about, we've added information to speak and braille automatically the formula as well as the contents of the cell, and whether a cell is merged or not, whether a cell has borders or not, all that kind of thing, information that a sighted person gets, you can now add that to your verbosity setting. So if you put high verbosity on, you can get a lot more information. And one of the new things we've added is the position of the print area, or the area to print. So if you've got a huge spreadsheet which would run to several pages of print, Supernova will now tell you whether you're within or outside the print area.
You mentioned Braille there. Do we have any new Braille features in this version? I noted that you had some new Braille tables. I think one was Turkish and
Norwegian was the other, yeah.
Is that language support for Braille? So
yes, that's language support for Braille. So if somebody's using Turkish or Norwegian, they get their Braille output in something that's familiar to them. Those are only grade 1 tables. As far as the Braille functionality goes, really it's the same as the speech, so all the things you get in your speech verbosity you can also have in Braille. So if you're a Braille user, you might prefer to have less speech and more Braille. So you might want all your cell information, for example, in Excel in Braille and not in speech if it's too wordy for you. If you've only got a small Braille display and not an 80 cell, you might prefer to have more information in speech and less in Braille.
Okay. Is there anything else new in this version that you'd like to draw our attention to, or have we covered the majority?
I think we've probably covered the majority, although we've sort of briefly talked about a few things. There are, I think it's about 90 improvements and fixes, and including the new features as well. And we do have a list of what's there available on the website or from Dolphin. Also, if you download the demo, there's a list of what's new in the online help as well. So there's a lot of things there.
Just to reiterate, this is actually a free update to customers who have purchased version 601 or 602. So to receive it, customers just really need to go into the control panel of HAL or Supernova or Lunar even, and just click update from internet, and they'll receive it straight to their machine and it will load. Lots of new features, no cost in this, and of course anybody who purchases Dolphin products at the moment is getting a free SMA, so they will get the next version as well. So tremendous value, I think, at the moment.
Is there anyone who buys a new product or anyone who buys an upgrade?
It's new customers at the moment.
Okay.
And what we're doing is offering existing customers the option to purchase an SMA, at which is just the cost of an upgrade, and that will individuals can purchase it, and it will give them the next 2 upgrades, and it is the price of just 1 upgrade to actually buy an SMA.
Okay, that sounds great. Now, are you still developing various map files for applications?
There is a full list of available map files on the website at dolphinuk.co.uk. I'm just trying to think of, there's a really good map now for MSN Messenger if you're using Messenger version 6.
I think you're right, Martin. You made a good point there. We've not abandoned customers from previous versions, so we're still where we can get the functionality out of the product. We will be bringing out maps for older versions of the product wherever possible, and that seems it's really achievable for us at the moment.
So, if someone's got, say, the final version of HAL 5 that was released, if they go to the internet update utility, it may just be worth them trying because they might get new functionality.
Yeah, people should try at least once a month, I think, because we are bringing things out all the time on the internet update. So.
Do you have any plans to support secure PDF documents?
Well put on the spot, Martin, thank you for that. Yes, there happens to be. So at the TechShare conference again, Adobe was showing their next version, which is version 7. Which has excellent support and includes the option for us to use the document object model to detect actually what's going on the screen. And now you put me on the spot, I'll say watch this space.
Staying with Supernova, and I know you're anxious to get onto the Pocket PC stuff, I've been hearing whispers about a product called Novalink that's come out, an interface between Supernova and Dragon Naturally Speaking 7. Is this a result of the configurability of the product? Is it like a JAWS script based solution like Jawbone would be?
Yeah, I think it's best to describe it that way. Yeah, it is totally different that we work with standard Windows controls, and you can within the professional version of our product you can create what we call a map. And what the development team and technical support have done here is created a map that has compatibility with Dragon, is it Naturally Speaking or Preferred Speaking? A version 7, so that the company that we've been dealing with, TNT Consultancy, have built like an interface piece of software that deals between the macro in the Dragon product and the map in Supernova or HAL. So you can actually have speech input and feedback, which of course is synchronised in Braille, magnification and colour changing options as well.
So is this the first time that any outside companies really use the power of Supernova? Because it was felt at first by a lot of people that even though you develop the map system rather than having a scripting language, it was difficult for visually impaired people to use that, the power of that flexibility that you offered.
We looked around for a while for a company you could actually work with. I think stick to the things you're good at, and we didn't understand Dragon particularly well. So when Brian Hartch and Terry Clasper came along from TNT, it was a marriage made in heaven for us. They gave the backup to the product, and they understood it, the Dragon range, really well. So with regard in the mapping side, I just think we criticise ourselves is we're quite bad at going over how good that mapping side is. It's really can be very, very powerful, quick to write, and people that understand sort of Windows controls are always surprised when I'm come on a training course to Dolphin how easy it is actually to use. There are some aspects that you may be able to do with other products that you can't do with mapping, but vice versa as well. So increasingly we're getting lots of governmental authorities in the UK, and again across Europe, where we're doing increasingly a number of training courses for not just for our dealers but also for the end users, so they can support their customers extremely quickly with creating and appending maps.
Would you say that visually impaired people are now getting the hang of map creation?
Yes.
Because that was one of the problems at first, wasn't it? That people really found it difficult, I think, because it was very visual based at first. I know that you've made improvements to the way that information is displayed in the map creation tools.
And again, I would say it was a fair criticism that we were not very good at actually getting over how it could be used to a blind person.
I would say it wasn't so much visual as there were a large number of dialogues, and to remember the path through those dialogues would take quite a feat of memory. But from my point of view, as a number of my dealers who are visually impaired, who are totally blind, who do create maps, and powerful maps for things like telephone operating systems and so forth, so it is really being used out there in the real world with real employees in real situations and going very well.
How are things in the US? Because obviously you've got GW Micro and Freedom Scientific, who are very well entrenched in that market. Yeah. Do Dolphin really stand a chance of getting a good chunk of that market?
Dolphin is a company that I think gives excellent customer service. We make a product which is significantly cheaper than the largest manufacturer, and we only charge that the product we make is actually compatible with Windows 98, ME, NT, 2000, XP Home, XP Professional, Windows Server 2000, 2003, and Citrix MetaFrame XP, one disk, one charge. We feel it's wrong to charge extra money for a 150 kilobyte interceptor. And particularly in things like Citrix, where really we feel that people should not be charged more for what is exactly the same code. So the company has invested significantly in research and development. A lot of money is being put into HAL and Supernova at the moment. And again, Lunar and Lunar Plus are not without their added features. I want people to make their own mind up. I'd say have a look at the product. It's not the same as the others. It's different because we have a different way of thinking here. Have a look at it.
So do people, say if people do look, do they have a US-based support network that they can take advantage of?
They do. We have an office in San Mateo, which is on the San Francisco side. We also have people who live in the Denver area as well. So between them, they can give support on most of the time shifts across the states. Give us a try, because I think we give excellent technical support. We pride ourselves on it.
And there's a toll-free number in the US as well.
Of course. PDA is an acronym for Personal Digital Assistant. They're a fairly standard piece of kit which are made in their thousands. There are a number of manufacturers, and I've got one here in front of me, Martin, and if you'd like to hold it, can anyone, if you could quickly describe to everybody what you feel?
Okay, it's a small box, probably about the size of, I don't know, something like a makeup compact or two MP3 players. We have a control at the bottom, which is like a round circle. I guess that's like a joypad or a mouse kind of effort. Mm-hmm. And then buttons on either side of it. And then it goes up then to like quite a large rectangular screen. And there are some buttons on the side of the device and slots where I suspect you'd put various memory cards and other storage devices.
The device itself comes with a small stylus, and what sighted users are supposed to do is press the small stylus on what effectively is a button, or select an item, or they can actually, a little pop-up keyboard appears, and they can then select the character that they want to type in. So there's lots of problems with this particular
interface.
For a start, if you touch the screen, then it may likely that it would actually go off in a different direction.
Sure.
The applications that are actually on the unit, I would say, are predominantly inaccessible via the keyboard. Every model of these are different. So, and even between manufacturers, you'll find that their different releases are different sizes, different shapes. I would say they're small, but they're quite difficult to operate. Perhaps one of the more difficult things is they have quite a delicate connector to the beneath of them, which actually sometimes connects the battery, sometimes is just the connector through to the PC. So, all in all, not the best platform for people to use, but there are some positives. What we've done is ported HAL, okay, to this particular platform, and in doing so, what we've tried to do is make sure that the latest version of HAL will always be available on this platform. It's not a specific version. The development track means that they both run together, because it is in fact a single development team.
With the PacMate, as I understand it, you've got basically an adapted PDA, not an off-the-shelf one, a copy of JAWS ported over to work on that PDA, an application. So what you've got here is a copy of the screen reader that works on the PDA, but a standard PDA.
That's
correct. So, in theory, it should be cheaper for a visually impaired person to own this device. Now, the next thing people will be asking is, how are we going to get around the interface issues of this device? Obviously, there'll be speech output.
Indeed. So, there's speech output. In fact, they can do speech and Braille, but I'll come onto the Braille side later. As a standalone unit, I'm not an expert, but I would say that I think it's an output-only device. So you may be able to go into Word, Excel, but you'd only be able to listen because the keyboard access to you is fairly limited. Right, the presses are quite difficult. We have, in fact, only got 9 real buttons that we can actually use.
If I can give an example, you could go into your contacts list. You could move down your contacts list and read those just using the joystick on the bottom. You could select one to telephone or to send an email to, but then you couldn't actually write that email without another device connected. So you've got basic access using the joystick or the buttons, but you haven't got full input access.
So I guess to get around that, you need something like a Bluetooth keyboard.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, now we come on to the positives, yeah. And this is such a dynamic platform. It seems that every 6 months, each of the manufacturers was releasing a different version. So any hardware that was using this platform sort of 6 months ago is now out of date because there's new applications made available on there. So with that in mind, what we've done is made it so it's our screen reader is sort of device independent. So people, we hope, will be able to choose the particular PDA that they want to use. That's the dream. In the reality, it looks like there'll be a list of those that do work and those that don't, and people can then make their choice from there.
Now, what synthesizer are we using with this?
There are a number of synthesizers, like in all software, available. The one we've got at the moment is we've ported over Orpheus and SAM, which is our intermediate piece of software, as you know. Going back to the keyboard, yes, and then I think that's the most exciting thing about this platform is you can get a Bluetooth keyboard, a number of them, or you can get some of them have plug-on keyboards. So you don't actually have to have the device in your hand or on the desk in front of you or wherever. It can actually be in your pocket, can be in your bag. All you need to have is the keyboard in front of you. Rather excitingly, it becomes an input and an output device then.
Sure. Now, do we get magnification on this device?
No, it's not been taken over. It is possible. One of the biggest problems to overcome with that is if magnification uses where they were selecting, it wouldn't actually be that part of the screen. So work to be done there, and I think that will come later on.
So you mentioned that we'd be using a copy of a ported HAL, or HAL at this stage, I suppose.
Yes.
Does that mean that we could have similar kind of access to, say, Internet Explorer, Pocket IE, to the kind we've got on the standard desktop PC?
I'd love that I could say yes to you, but the reality is that a Pocket IE doesn't give access to all of the sites that are actually out there on the internet. There are some that work very well, and again, there are others that don't, but there are more that don't than actually do work. But yes, you will have the very similar functionality in our virtual focus to be able to get around those that do work.
So we'll have virtual focus, we'll have the new forms mode. And that kind of functionality?
Certainly hoping to, yeah.
Again, we sort of recommend the WAP sites, the WAP sites, because then they're actually formatted and designed for people to use with a limited interface. So,
How about access to applications like Word?
Well, the Pocket Word is a much reduced version. It doesn't have the sort of historic file edit view menu that actually exists. It really is something that I think primarily was designed to actually read rather than actually type into it. But yes, everything you want to know in Pocket Word is there. We have working that you can read the word, read the sentence, read the paragraph. If you want to find out the attributes to the character that you're next to, you can do that.
I can just add something there as well. Pocket Word and Pocket Excel do not have the document object model in them, as you would with Microsoft Office on your PC. So there's certain information that's not available to screen readers, things like a heading or a spell checker or the grammar checker. So that information isn't available, but if you just want to read and access your documents that you're carrying with you, then very, very simple.
Just to summarise, at the moment we've got Pocket... I'll call it Pocket HAL, and a Pocket version of Orpheus. You mentioned Braille before.
Yes, you've got a couple of options here again. So you can use, if you wish, a Bluetooth Braille display.
Like the new Brailleant from Pulse Data, for example.
That would be one possible option indeed, yes. So you could use that. There are a couple of other manufacturers that make very nice Bluetooth Braille displays. So all you need to do is match up, do a Bluetooth pairing. So you could have a Bluetooth keyboard and also be using a Bluetooth Braille display, which could be input and output. We've had that working. It's working well, in fact.
Okay.
With a Bluetooth earpiece. None of them are actually connected. They're all in various parts of the room, if you like, but they all work together.
Would you like to demonstrate something for us?
Okay, I mean, what I should have mentioned perhaps earlier is that it's in development. Well, we're hoping that it's going to be released in sort of quarter two, so I can rumble through a little bit of it.
Okay, great.
So it's very much a work in progress at the time. So what I've got attached to this particular iPack is one of these fold-out keyboards, which I'll give Lee a hold on in a minute, Martin. It's just attached at the moment. And what I'm going to do is just go press the Windows key and then just go down the Today screen. So
14 items menu selected today. Active scene. File explore. Intercept. Internet Explorer.
So it's a fairly standard Windows control. You can move down, very similar to the start button in perhaps XP.
Sure.
If I come down perhaps to programs.
iPad Rock Notes, Notes, Sam, Soft Reset, Programs. Programs window, File Explorer 10 of 34 selected.
Plenty of programs on there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've noticed is that every version has a different variation of the applications, and they're all in a different order as well. So what we're doing is giving here the people the choice what they want on this particular device. What shall I do? Shall I find going to File Explorer or Inbox or something?
Okay, yeah, if you could go into the Inbox. Okay. I think email's something
inbox
that lots of people...
34 selected.
Lots of people would like to check their email on the go, and it's something that isn't always accessible to people. But with a PDA and a Bluetooth mobile phone, it's possible that you could use that as a modem and collect your email. So if you could show us an email, that'd be great.
That's a really good idea. You can do that as well, yeah. Or using the ActiveSync software that comes with the PDAS standard. I think it's a freebie from Microsoft. You can connect it to your PC either by a hard cable connection or via Wi-Fi. And you can then perhaps take your unread emails onto your PDA. And then if you want to answer them, when you ActiveSync again, it'll actually update your PC. So they keep in perfect harmony. So I'll just go into Inbox.
Inbox
window, so
received date, Inbox, webmaster, Travelodge, UK. Thank you for booking with Travelodge, 2 on 2 selected, 2 items list, view Inbox,
okay,
active
so the,
sync, 2 items.
So the first one is your Travelodge booking.
Yeah, should we go into that one?
Okay, hopefully we'll get his credit card number of yours. So.
I'm glad I borrowed this device of somebody now. So.
Inbox, thank you for booking with Travelodge. Please check the following to ensure your details are correct. You may find it useful to make a print a copy for your...
I'll just stop it there. It's now reading the body of the email. So, and again, if you wanted to reply to that, then you'd need the keyboard to be able to do it. But yes, you could reply to the email.
Okay.
When you've got your PC and your PDA and it's close together, of course, it would send it straight off.
What kind of price are we looking at for this kind of technology?
Another good question, put me on the spot. Let me just say that some of the information is still quite commercially sensitive.
Sure.
And I'd love to tell you a price, but if I may, I'll let you announce that later on next year. Not prohibitive. If you look at the cost of our existing software, you'll realise that generally we tend to be cheaper than most other competitors. But the main thing here is the hardware. The hardware is so much cheaper because it's made in volume. So if I was to think of it in terms of dollars, I'm looking somewhere between $200 and $400 for a really good device, which if you buy another one, of course, you can move your screen reader onto. It makes it nice and easy, flexible for people.
And could HAL stroke Luna users hope to get a competitive discount if they chose your screen reader because they're already your customers?
That identical question came up at TechShare. Mm. So I think we've got a theme there. So our marketing message hasn't actually been finalised on this yet, but I think that's a really good idea, one we need to listen to. Thank you, Martin.
So how does this differ from the VisuAid offering? Because at first listening and viewing, it seems kind of similar that they're developing their own interface to a PDA. How do you differ from that?
The main difference is that you can really mix and match. So you can choose any PDA off the shelf and put your software with it. You can also choose any hardware you want. You can have your choice of Braille input or output devices. You can have, with the right connector obviously, you can have your choice of Braille keyboard, and you can really build your own device that way. The VisuAid product is very good. I went to their seminar, I was quite impressed with it, but it is limited to a specific device, which, as we mentioned before, they do go out of date very quickly. So within 6 months your PDA could be obsolete, whereas with this it's much more dynamic system. So as new software comes out for the PDA, you can just add HAL and add the new map to HAL, because obviously the maps will be developed as well. If you want to upgrade your hardware PDA, again, a couple of £100 or a few $100, you can actually change your hardware PDA and still use the same copy of HAL. So a much more dynamic system, and that's what we're really looking for. That's a real difference.
How long did the development take for this? Because it's obviously, it can't be a small feat to port a screen reader over to a device like this.
No, the development up until now has taken just over 18 months. And as I mentioned earlier, there's about another 6 months to actually bring a product that's fit to go to the market. So we're just entering the beta testing phase of the product at the moment. It's been a significant investment for Dolphin. We really do believe in being able to give people the choice of the platform, the hardware platform that they're actually working on. And so this is something from the heart for us. But if anybody who understands the cost of developers, just to say there's 4 to 5 people working on this for 2 years, it's not about its cost.
Okay, so do you have anything else you'd like to tell us? Or
well, I think one of the things I would like to mention is that it looks as if the personal PDA and the mobile phone are coming ever closer together. For some people, which means that I hope that people should be able to have that truly mobile office, which again can actually synchronise with the PC.
It's interesting because we've now got screen readers for mobile phones. We've got Talks and we've got mobile, I think it's called Mobile Speaks. Did Dolphin envisage going into that kind of field? Mobiles or
to mobile telephones?
Yeah,
always an option for us, and we have looked very hard at that particular platform. Nothing to announce there yet. I think what we need to, when we looked at this particular platform, it had everything that we wanted. All the applications that people were familiar with were present on the device, so it meant that there'd be a true mobile office for people. And I think the most important thing from our point of view was there was some access available. At the moment, input into the mobile phone is fairly limited, although I understand stuff is being developed as we speak.
Again, because of the flexibility of the screen reader, if you've got something like a smartphone, which is based with Pocket PC, then you're going to have access to that. So you've really got the choice of devices. So if you choose a device that's got that technology on it,
there's a good chance that it can work.
Yeah, I've got a PDA here. If you'd like to just hold on to that. Can you feel the PDA?
Okay, yep.
Now, that one's got a sort of a little wand at the back of it, at the top. Can you feel it?
Yep.
Okay, now that is a GPS receiver for this particular device, and I think that demonstrates the flexibility of this particular hardware platform. People are developing things all the time, so this one is specifically designed for car drivers. They just plug that onto the dash, and that wand, which is actually attached to the device, it reports back a really accurate position for car drivers. However, it does mean, it's a good demonstration really, there are other app things you can use with these PDAs which will make life much easier for some people.
So we're talking about kind of tracker functionality, tracker GPS functionality, whereby one can be alerted to their location. And do you think that if software were available, that's the version of HAL should work with things like that?
Well,
is that the hope?
Yeah, that would be the reason for porting the professional version, so that we could hopefully make maps with it and make these things accessible for people. And again, so they could buy a standard application, again, to reiterate that, with standard hardware, and then be able to use it with the screen reader. There's lots of things we could have in mind in development, but again, perhaps we'll release those later.
Now, we know you've ported Orpheus over to the PDA, and we were talking about reading different kind of books with different synthesizers. Would you expect to port the new Orpheus over with the human-sounding voices that were demonstrated
at SciVillage.
That is the goal, it is indeed. So what we've tried to do, and John Roy and his development team here have looked at the how natural we can make a voice sound, but be able to keep some of the options that are available in the more synthetic synthesizers. So we need to make sure that it's clear and understandable when it the speed is increased. And we also put things in like being able to skim, so you can skim read, etc., etc.
Sure. I think that's traditionally been the problem with many concatenative synthesizers, is that they sound fine when you're reading slowly, but blind people generally don't want to read things too slowly. They kind of like to speed the thing up. Could you give us a demonstration of the latest Orpheus voices for the concatenative synth?
Yeah, I've got a UK English voice on here, so it may sound slightly strange to people. It's a female voice, which I believe we call Carol.
So I'll just run one first at normal speed, and then we'll whop the speed up and listen to that, okay?
What's new and improved in Supernova version 6.03 now available a free update for users of Supernova, HAL, Lunar and Lunar Plus V6.01 and V6.02. V6.02, period.
Okay, so it stopped right on the button when you pressed...
That's right, yeah. I'm going to go home again.
What's new and improved?
Silence there, so I've pressed Control and it mutes instantly. I'm going to whop the speed up a bit.
Speed 134. Speed 290. Speed 253.
How about there?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. What's new and improved in Supernova version 6.03 now available for free update for users of Supernova, HAL, Lunar and Lunar Plus V6.01 and V6.02. V6.02, period.
Okay, so that's quite intelligible. How near are we to getting these voices out into the public now?
Hope to be able to make an announcement before the end of the year. Considerable amount of work's been done. It's difficult to make a natural sounding synthesizer. It's even more difficult to make a naturally sounding synthesizer that's intelligible when you actually speed it up. So it's been a big development cycle for the team there. So, and it looks like it's coming towards an end, towards the end of this year.
Now, will this synthesizer be, as traditionally has happened with Orpheus, be locked into products that use the SAM system, or are you thinking about making SAPI versions available, say if someone was using Kurzweil or a different screen reader, so that they could buy this synthesizer and then use it alongside their Access software?
It is planned to release a SAPI 4 and SAPI 5 compliant version of Orpheus 2.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Job Worsford and I'm the Key Projects Manager for Dolphin.
Okay, so I guess you work on the various interlinking projects that Dolphin are involved in. Can you tell us anything about the News Reporter project?
News Reporter is a way of delivering information to the end user. Something that would normally be web-based can also be delivered to the user in audio form. So the idea of News Reporter is that the user can set up their own particular channels, their own information they're interested in, and they can choose to assimilate that information in the way they want. So they could, for example, decide to sit in front of the screen and read the information, or use a screen reader to read the information pertinent to their channels, or they could choose to make use of perhaps a hardware player or device that they've already purchased and listen to the information in audio-based form.
So we're talking about Dolphin as opposed to providing a software product that one would buy and use. We're talking about Dolphin providing a service, like over a web-based service now.
That's the idea of News Reporter, yeah. The News Reporter would be a subscription-based service. Whether it was provided by Dolphin or another is yet to be seen.
The user could get the content, and I guess you could set up a schedule. So if you were on a Monday morning, say you had to go to work, you could go to your PC and have it send the information that you've requested to your portable device. Is that right?
That's perfect. Yep, exactly.
Not everyone's got a PC.
News Reporter is electronic information, so it doesn't have to be necessarily sent to a PC. It could be accessed via a modem, telephone link, to a dedicated hardware device. And again, the user could set up the channels using the telephone, maybe to a help desk, maybe automatically and then access that information they want via or download it at a particular time that they wanted it. The idea is all of the information is there that's pertinent to the user. So based on the profile, it's all there. How they want to use it may depend from day to day. So they can choose to either download the text or view the text or the graphical information or just the audio or both.
What kind of market is this aimed at? Because it seems to be stepping outside Dolphin's traditional market of visually impaired users.
Well, if I may answer that, Martin, that's a really good question. And everything we do, we have our visually impaired customers in mind. Many of those things, it actually are just common sense. So what we find from time to time is things that work really well in the visually impaired world for our customers are just common sense outside of that. And as an example, DAISY is a really good example. Giving people the power to be able to read, 24 hours worth of DAISY book from a single CD is so much better than the 12 or 20 CDs alternative if it's in WAVE. So what we're looking at here is giving people the opportunity to get access to information of their choice in the format that they actually want to be able to do. And that's what drives us here, is access to information.
So what we're looking at is, say if I was going to work in the morning, I could have the information downloaded to my portable device, say in DAISY format, and then I could skim that information quickly on the way to work and have it read in speech or braille.
It may be coming on to your the MP3 device that you've had connected to a modem. It could come on to your PDA, which is also a mobile phone, so it's been delivered direct. It could have come to your laptop overnight. We don't believe in saying that people must receive it in a format. We want people to say, well, this is the format that I want it delivered in, and that's the idea behind News Reporter.
I guess this is why Dolphin are trying to support more PDA devices with speech sending.
We're trying to bring a whole sort of hardware and software devices together. The important thing that we feel is as a software company, we've got to work with as much hardware which is actually out there, and in doing that, if we don't make the hardware ourselves, we find that people can buy it cheaper than the sort of more traditional access hardware.
Moving on to DAISY, I believe you've got some new enhancements to your DAISY product line.
Easy Reader 2 allows you to open text-only DAISY content and use the synthesizer that you've already got on your machine to generate the audio component. So you could choose to use your own synthesizer instead of a human-recorded DAISY book. Again, the choice is up to you. It's up to the user what they want. And no one should dictate it to you.
Okay, so that's a slight departure from the previous version where you had to have a screen reader to read text on the DAISY player. Is that correct?
Well, with the older version, it had self-voicing support using a synthesizer, but you had to rely on the human audio recording for the component within the content. Now with the new version, you decide. You either have the human recording or you use a synthesizer.
And so what synthesizers do you support for that capability?
Again, we don't want to dictate what synthesizers people should use, so we support any SAPI 4 or SAPI 5 synthesizer that you may have on your machine.
I guess people then could choose different synthesizer for a different style of text. Would that be a...
That would be an ideal example, yeah. You may want a human-sounding synthesizer for a work of fiction, whereas you may want a more robotic sounding synthesizer that you can speed up for work of reference.
Do we have any more enhancements to the audio publishing product line you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, we're actually going to bring out towards the end of the year a new version of the authoring tool which we make, which is called Easy Publisher. At the moment that makes audible only, text only, or synchronized text and speech books. You can create the book actually from a narrated audio, or you can use a synthesizer actually with the text to create the book quickly. Now what we're going to do is extend the number of formats that's actually working with.
The authoring tool will allow you to output the content you've created to either DAISY 202 or to the NISO format. So you could take an existing piece of content and output it to an audio only NISO book, for example.
But DAISY is such a fantastic idea, and it gives people so many options. And as I said earlier, you know, having up to 24 hours worth of audio with the text on one CD It's so much better than the audiobook, which has 20 CDs. It's just a really good idea that was originally thought of to convert the national libraries that everybody held on tape. So we saw that and thought this is a good idea. This could not only extend, I think, like some of the American associations like RFB&D, they've had the same vision that it's not just for the vision impaired, it can be for the wider print impaired area as well. And then fully sighted people seem to like it. It's a cool idea. There are some geographical hotspots for DAISY. So if you were to, in Sweden, it's very strong, as extremely strong in the Netherlands as well. Everybody has a hardware player there. The UK is very progressive. And in the States, we're seeing a real rush of interest into DAISY.
Especially with NISO.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you explain what NISO is?
NISO is the American standard for the creation and delivery of accessible content. And NISO is the body, the National Institute Standards Organization, that gives you, if you like, the kite mark of a US standard.
I believe you took part in kind of dueling DAISY players.
We did.
Competition at CSUN. How did that go for you guys?
Well, without blowing our own trumpet, that went extremely well. Easy Reader passed every single test that was asked of us from the DAISY consortium.
So were there any improvements based on that procedure that you went through for the new version of Easy Reader?
We always like to improve what we've built.
I think the main thing is that we want to make sure that as many people can afford the player as possible and not exclude them through the cost, which is why it's pitched really low. We just looked at the development cost and added a small markup actually on there. The things like the TTS option have really come from that excellent test that came from CSUN. So again, that would be DAISY Consortium, I think, at their best, pushing the industry along.
What kind of price would we be expecting to pay for this DAISY player Easy Reader?
Yeah, it's €45 or $45 or £30, and that gets a tool that will actually play all DAISY books as synchronised text speech or just the audio.
You mentioned your role before at Dolphin, John. Would you like to elaborate on that for us? Now we've heard a bit about the DAISY, it seems you're quite involved with that, and also the subscription-based news report service. What do you do at Dolphin?
I'm responsible for all the key projects. So, as you probably expect, we have an awful lot of good ideas at Dolphin, and we need to filter some of them out and see what we can actually realistically create and the real value and benefit to the end user. It's all about the end user. The end user should have a choice of what they want to get, when they want to get it, in the form they want to get it.
We need to get some contact details. I've taken a lot of your time up, and Jane's still patiently sitting here as well. So could we have some UK contact details for Dolphin and the US contact details as well, please?
Yeah, sure, I'll do that for you. So we've got a local rate telephone number in the UK and a toll-free number in the US. So for the UK, the local rate number is 0845 130 5353, and in the US we've got a toll free number, and that is 866 797 5921.
Okay, I don't think we need to go to the length of postal addresses, but if you could give us a US email contact and a UK contact email, that'd be good.
Sure, no problem. So for the UK, it's info@dolphinuk.co.uk, and in the US it's info@dolphinusa.com.
Can we get the contact details for TNT consultancy who worked on the Novalink project with you, in case anyone's interested in getting speech input and output from their screen reading software?
If you'd like to phone TNT consultancy from the US, you need an international number, which is 01144, and that's your international code for the UK, 1782 644 141, and if you're phoning from the UK, 01782 644 141.
Is there anything else that we haven't touched on today that Dolphin are involved in that you'd like to tell us about?
If anybody's interested in receiving some more information as and when it's available from Dolphin, if they just drop a line to info@dolphinuk.co.uk, then we can put them on our news list and send it out to them. If they're specifically interested in one product, if they could put that in the title or the subject line, then I can make sure that it's pertinent to what they want, particularly the PDA stuff as well. Jane?
No, again, just a reminder to everybody that our news is updated regularly on a monthly basis on the website, and you can also download the demonstration versions from the website. So www.dolphinuk.co.uk.